listening to the Destiny Community Church Podcast.
Welcome, everybody, to week two of our lesson on our series, the Sabbath series called Blessed Rest. Let me share something with you as we get started today. There was a man who went on vacation to the Holy Land with his wife and his mother-in-law. While they were there, the mother-in-law passed away. And the undertaker told the man, "We can ship your mother-in-law back home to be buried, and that will cost $5,000. Or we can bury her here in the Holy Land for only $150. The man thought about it and said, "Just ship her back home." The undertaker was confused and asked the man, "Why would you spend so much extra to have her shipped home and buried for $5,000 when it would be wonderful to have her buried here in the Holy Land for only $150? The man said, "A man died here about 2,000 years ago. He was buried here, and 3 days later, he rose from the dead. I don't want to take any chances." And as messed up as that story is, there are some relationships that are worth investing in. There are some relationships that are worth making the investment. And I'm not talking necessarily about a monetary investment, and I'm certainly not talking about investing in a relationship that is toxic or investing in someone who absolutely does not care about you at all, but there are some relationships that are worth us going the extra mile to invest in, to help make sure that the bond that you have with those loved ones, that it stays healthy and strong. As Pastor Rocky shared last week, in this month of Sabbath that we're in here at DCC, it's not just about focusing on the relationships that you have with your family and your close friends, and that is so life-giving, and you want to make sure that you make time for that. But the first thing this month is about is us focusing on our relationship with God, which is the most important relationship. And today we're going to talk about, thank you for at least one amen, somebody agrees with that. And today we're going to talk about how to invest in that relationship and get some spiritual rest. And to be clear, by saying spiritual rest, I'm not saying that this is a time where we take a break from praying for the rest of the month. I'm not saying when we say spiritual rest, I'm not saying that this is a time where you stop reading God's word and you stop coming to church for the rest of July, just to make sure we're all on the same page. And just like a diamond has numerous facets to it, there are many different facets when it comes to this subject of spiritual rest that we can talk about. But today, the spiritual rest that we're going to focus on is where we can hear from God better, we can get a deeper understanding of his direction for our lives, and we can experience more peace as we rest in his presence. And so we're going to start today over in Mark chapter 6. So I want you to go with me there, if you will. Mark chapter 6, and we're going to look at verse 31. Mark 6, 31. And it says, Jesus and his followers were in a very busy place. There were so many people that he and his followers did not even have time to eat. He said to them, "Come with me. We will go to a quiet place to be alone. There we will get some rest." So as we have alone time with God, it is there that we can get some rest. And in what we just read, the first thing it says is that Jesus and his followers were in a very busy place. And that's not just talking about the location that they were in was busy, but Jesus and his followers, it suggests that they were also busy, because in the next sentence it says that they didn't even have time to eat. And in our society, especially in Western civilization, people not only understand what it means to be busy, but many of us in the church can relate to that as well. In Revelation chapter 2, where the Lord spoke about a church in Ephesus, it says, "I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. The Ephesian church was busy. They were doing works, the Bible says. They labored and they did not quit. The problem is, though, they were doing the work of the Lord, but they forgot about the Lord of the work. And it got to a point where the Lord told the church, "One thing I have against you, you have left your first love." One translation of that, the Lord says, "You loved me very much when you first believed in me. You do not love me as much now." Last year, the first 5.5 months of 2023 were literally, that was the busiest time I've ever experienced in my life. There were so many ministry responsibilities that I had, not just within DCC, but I'm talking outside of DCC and out of state as well. And so by the end of those 5.5 months, people could start to look at me, physically look at me, and they could tell that I was tired. I didn't quit, but I was exhausted. And one reason for that was because I was, and I'll admit, I'll be transparent, I was spending less time with God and spending more time trying to get stuff done with my own efforts. And so my wife, Tequila, she sent me away to a hotel for a few days to be alone with God and to get some rest. And when I came back, it made a positive difference, not only on the outside of me, but inside of me as well. Because if we're not paying attention, the more responsibilities that we have, they can replace the relationship that we're supposed to have with God, where the relationship with Him becomes simply a checklist of things that we have to do, and it becomes more about activity rather than intimacy. And what happens is, instead of a connection with the Almighty God that should be alive and growing and getting deeper, all the things that you do for God become more motivated out of obligation, when we should be motivated more out of revelation and appreciation for who God is and what God has done for us. So the little getaway that I did last year, it was something that I did again this year. And I told Tequila when I got back this time that I didn't feel like I needed it as much as I did last year. And one reason for that is because when you make it a priority to have alone time with God, it's not something limited to only once a year or just every now and then. When Jesus says in Mark 6:31, he said to them, "Come with me, we will go to a quiet place to be alone. There we will get some rest." We can do that every single day. And so let me share with you 5 ways to get the most out of our alone time with God and get some spiritual rest. 5 ways. First way is to limit and look out for distractions. Limit and look out for distractions. I've shared before how some kids, they can do this thing where they play connect the dots, where they can get a marker or a crayon or something and connect the dots. But Satan likes to do this thing called connect the thoughts, where you can be thinking about something, and then that thought leads to another thought, that leads to another thought, that leads to another thought, and before you know it, you're thinking of something totally different than what you initially started thinking about. And the thoughts come faster than this. And so even with the scripture, the main scripture that we read today in Mark 6:31, where it talks about, "Come with me and we will go to a quiet place to be alone." I can read that scripture in my alone time. And when I see where Jesus says, "Let's go to a quiet place," I can start thinking about a movie called A Quiet Place that just came out. The prequel came out a couple weeks ago. And then I can start thinking about how in the first movie of that series, there was an actor in it named John Krasinski. And the thoughts are coming like this. And then I can start thinking about the TV show that John Krasinski was in, this show called The Office. And then I can start thinking about Scott's Tots and Prison Mike. And before you know it, I'm thinking of something completely different than what Jesus is talking about. Because I've gotten distracted. And not only are there mental distractions or internal distractions that can affect us, but there can be external distractions as well. And while we may not be able to eliminate every single one of those external distractions, we can limit those as well. Speaking of a quiet place, a time of day that can be a quiet place for us is early in the morning. David was one who took advantage of that when it came to spending time alone with God. And he was called a man after God's own heart. In the book of Psalm 57, starting in verse 8, he says, "Awake, my glory, awake, O harp and lyre." A lyre is a small U-shaped harp. "I will awake the dawn. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations." And that word dawn, by definition, is not when the sun comes up, but it's the first appearance of light in the sky before sunrise. So David was saying, "God, I'm so excited about spending time with you that I want to be able to tell the light that comes from the sun that hasn't even come up yet, I want to tell that light that it's time to get up." And so David, he was one who got up early in the morning to be alone with God. Jesus did it. In Mark chapter 1, verse 35, it says, "Early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went out to a secluded place and was praying there." And not to be legalistic, I want everybody to relax. I'm not saying that this is a requirement or that it's mandatory that you get up early in the morning to pray and spend time with God. I don't know of any scripture in the Bible that commands us to do that. But I am a witness that when you do it, it does set the tone for your day. And so, and personally, you can take this or leave it, but personally, if it was good enough for Jesus and David, it's good enough for me. And in my house, one thing that I notice when I do this, when I get up early in the morning to do this, there's really not anything else going on. Everybody else is still asleep. There's no traffic outside. And if I get up early enough, the birds aren't even chirping yet. The birds ain't even up yet. Making time early in the morning to experience this spiritual rest can help us experience less distractions, and there'll be less of a chance of us falling for the tricks of the enemy, because Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And it's interesting to me that the word distraction, if you replace the A with a U, you have the word destruction. Because distractions can lead to destruction. Peter can tell you that. Peter, who walked on water until he got distracted by the winds and waves, and he started to sink. And distractions can do more damage than we may think. If you've ever been at a stoplight and you've been behind a vehicle at a stoplight, and then when that light turns green and you notice for the next few seconds, the vehicle in front of you has not moved yet. And it's usually because they're on their phone. But because they are not moving, it's not only affecting them, but because they're not moving, it's now hindering you from being able to move forward as well. And when we get distracted in our relationship with God, it not only affects our lifestyle, but it can affect the progress of the people that are following us. And so it says in Hebrews chapter 12, this is why the writer of Hebrews chapter 12 tells us about staying focused. After chapter 11, where they talk about numerous great people of God from the Old Testament, the writer of Hebrews 12 says, "Since we are surrounded by so many examples of faith, we must get rid of everything that slows us down, especially sin that distracts us. We must run the race that lies ahead of us and never give up." It says that sin is distracting. And one way that it's distracting is that it can come through a temptation that we give into. And I want to be clear about something. Just because we get tempted to sin, that is not sin. If we get tempted to miss the mark, being tempted is not the sin. Because we all get tempted. Jesus himself was tempted. But when we give in to that temptation, then that is sin. I've never been a cat person. I'm team dog. But a few months ago, I gave the okay for us to get a cat. And it was just to my wife, Tequila, our daughter, Zoe, they've been begging me for years to allow us to get a cat in the house. And just some circumstances happened where there was a cat presented to us. It needed a home. So I said, okay. So now we have a cat. And I call him that. I call him Rat. I mean, his name is Sammy. His full name is Samuel L. Vaden, but we call him Sammy for short. But I call him Rat because he's always hungry. He's always wanting to eat, and he's just annoying, like a rat. Even last night, this happened just last night, because if you walk in the kitchen, then automatically he thinks it's time to eat. It's time for us to get him some food. So I want to show you, I took some pictures last night. So I walk in the kitchen. Show the other one first, because this is how it started. He's tapping my foot. I'm just minding my business. He's tapping my foot like, hey, get me something to eat. And then it goes to, he shows no shame. Like, this is the equivalent of getting on your knees and begging. Just begging, he's a rat. And what he begs for, usually, there are these snacks that we have for him. We don't give them to him all the time, but he will do anything for these snacks. I can make that thing walk on his hind legs to get these snacks. He loves them, but he also loves to go outside. And I think he saw a stray cat in our neighborhood, so I think he's trying to build a relationship. So we have to be careful. If we open the door and we leave the door open long enough, he's sitting there waiting, and he will jet out of the house. But no matter where he goes, as long as he's in earshot, all we have to do is grab these snacks and just shake the bag or shake the container, and he comes right back. He can't resist it. It's like a magnet. It's like a drug. No matter where he is, what he's doing, when he hears that container shaking with those snacks, he comes right back. And the ironic thing about those snacks is that they are literally called temptations. That is the brand name of those snacks. And it is always funny to me how I can get him to do anything for these snacks. It was funny to me until I started thinking about it. That's the kind of trick that Satan does with me, where he uses temptations to get me distracted to where I end up doing what he wants me to do. And it wasn't funny anymore. That's why the writer of Hebrews continues to write, starting in verse 2, that we must focus on Jesus, the source and goal of our faith. He saw the joy ahead of him. He endured death on the cross, ignored the disgrace it brought him, all those distractions. Now he holds the honored position, the one next to God the Father on the heavenly throne. Think about Jesus, who endured opposition from sinners so that you don't become tired and give up. The Message Bible at the end of that says that will shoot adrenaline into your souls. So maintaining focus and not getting distracted can help us experience the spiritual rest. Another way to do that is, number 2, have the perspective that alone time with God is not a burden, it's a blessing. And we're going to park here for a few moments, because this is a huge barrier for a lot of people. And this is why they don't look forward to having alone time with God, and they miss out on the spiritual rest that comes with it. Matthew 11, starting in verse 28, Jesus says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now, a yoke in the natural is a heavy wooden harness that goes on the shoulders of ox or oxen. And when people hear about a yoke, Jesus talking about a yoke, I think this is where a lot of people get stuck, because they start to think that getting alone with God is like a yoke. that doing things like praying and reading the Bible, that it is one big burden, when in reality, it's the opposite. In the Message, Jesus says, the same scriptures we read, he says, are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. And so his yoke is not to keep you from having fun. His yoke is not to keep you bound. His yoke is to help you stay connected with him so that you can truly be free. And when Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, or keep company with me and you'll learn, prayer and Bible study are two things used that God uses in our alone time with him to help us to learn what Jesus is talking about. I read a statistic that 2 out of 3 Americans pray, so around 66%. But then there was another stat that said that as far as how many American adults read the Bible, that was 11%. And I wouldn't be surprised if a reason for that is simply when you start talking to people about the word study, there is a negative connotation sometimes that comes with that word. I looked up some synonyms for the word study, and some examples of the words that came up were work, schoolwork, cramming, and even interrogation. And before my relationship with the Lord began, I would have used some of those same words because I equated studying with work. And if you ask someone what words come to mind when you hear the word study, you're probably not going to hear them say things like fun or life-giving. When in fact, studying God's word is like that, but I didn't realize it until God helped me to change my thinking. When I was a kid, when I was growing up, kids and teenagers, they would do this thing where if you were interested in someone, then you would write what we called a love letter, where you would put your feelings down in writing on a piece of paper, and then you would get that message to the person that you like some kind of way. You'd stick the note in their locker or stick it in their book bag when they weren't looking, something like that. And I understand with technology nowadays, with texting and social media, I understand that that looks a lot different, but there are still a lot of similarities where if you're interested in someone, you can still put your feelings down in writing to let them know how you feel about them and then somehow get that information to them. And that is what the Bible is. It is a 66-book love letter from God himself letting you know how much he cares about you. And the more that we read his message, the more that we read this love letter, the more then that we get his word on the inside of us. And the more we get his word on the inside of us, then the better our prayer life is going to be, because when we understand God's word, then that means we're going to have more understanding about God's will. And the more you pray God's will, the more you're going to see the results that you want from prayer, which will increase your desire to pray even more. And through this, we will experience more and more how having alone time with God is not a burden at all, but a blessing. That's the second of 5 ways to experience spiritual rest in our alone time with God. Now, before I give you the last 3, and these last 3 are going to go quicker, but I want to preface it by letting you know that these are going to be talking about different aspects about God that we should meditate on. Now, if you've never heard the word meditate in church before, then I want you to relax. I'm not talking about something that's some new age philosophy. I'm not talking about something spooky, but I'm talking about where we think deeply and carefully about scripture with a receptive heart, and it is very biblical. Joshua 1:8 says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." Psalm 119:27 says, "Make me understand the way of your precepts, and I will meditate on your wondrous works." Psalm 145:5 says, "On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works, I will meditate." Well, Pastor BJ, that's Old Testament. What about New Testament? Thank you for asking. Philippians 4, verse 8 in the New King James Version says, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." So with that, the third way we'll look at to experience spiritual rest in your alone time with God is to meditate on him being the Father. Pastor Rocky has said that in 2024, this is a year that we're going to see the prodigals come home, and we've seen that start to happen. But it's important to know that the father in that story of the prodigal son, the father did not disown the son when the son was disobedient. He didn't cut him off. But after the son expressed how truly sorry he was for what he did, the father welcomed him back home. And if an earthly father could do that, how much more can the heavenly father receive us when we repent, when we turn from sin and turn back to him? But not only meditate on him being the father, but number four, meditate on him being the founder. The founder. Most of us understand what a founder is when we hear, for example, somebody being the founder of a company, that they are the one who laid the foundation. They're the one who started it. They're the one who created it. They're the one who established it. They're the founder. And when it comes to this planet, when it comes to the planet Earth, all the way to the universe that this planet is in, God is the founder of it all. In fact, when I looked up the word founder on thesaurus.com, there were two words it used to describe that word. One word was inventor, and the other word was God. John chapter 1, verse 3 says, "All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made." Hebrews 11, 3 says, "By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible." And earlier in Hebrews, it gives us even more insight regarding God being the founder of the universe. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 10, it says, "And you, Lord, laid the foundation of the earth in the beginning, and the heavens are the work of your hands." In that verse, it says the Lord not only founded the earth, but also the heavens, plural. So not only heaven, where Jesus physically is at this moment, but it's talking about another place as well. That word heavens in the original Greek is the word ouranos. It's spelled O-U-R-A-N-O-S. And it's where we get the name for the planet Uranus, which is the seventh planet from the sun, suggesting to us what the other scriptures we just heard already confirm, that God created the universe. Now, I want to show you a picture. This is a picture of a small portion of the universe. And some people will look at that picture and they'll think that it's a picture of different stars in space. Some people will look at that picture and they'll think that it's a picture of different planets in the universe. But this is actually a picture of different galaxies in the universe. And even within this picture, and like I said, this is just a small portion. This is just a fraction of the universe. But even in this picture, it is very hard to count all of those. Now, let me give you some science stuff. The planet Earth is spinning right now at a rate of about 1,037 miles per hour. But from our everyday perspective, us here right now, it doesn't feel like the Earth is moving at all. So it's spinning kind of fast. This planet is in a galaxy, one of these, if you can leave the picture back up. This planet is in a galaxy. And the galaxy that this planet is in is spinning at a speed of around 541,700 miles an hour. And it's hard for me to even begin to imagine how fast that is. And the size of the galaxy this planet is in, as far as how big the galaxy that we're in is in, the size of this galaxy that we're in is 100,000 light years. To try to have a concept of what that is in miles, one light year is about 6 trillion miles. And the galaxy that this planet is in is 100,000 light years. And God created it all. Because when you go on in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 11, it says, they will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment, like a robe, you will roll them up. Like a garment, they will be changed, but you are the same, and your years will have no end. God not only created the universe, but he is so huge and he is so great that he is able to roll it up like a robe. And he, the Almighty, all-knowing, all-present God, wants a one-on-one relationship with you. Which leads to the fifth way to experience spiritual rest in your alone time with him, and that is to meditate on him being a friend. You may have had someone in your life who abandoned you, and I've had that happen, so I can relate. Someone who you thought, or they may have even told you, that they would never leave you, that they would never abandon you, that they would always have your back, that they would always be there for you. And then they go and do the very thing that they said that they would never do. I've seen that happen. I've had that happen in my life. But God promises over and over again that he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. And he cannot lie. He is unable to lie. He is a God of truth, and he will never abandon us. And I've witnessed that for myself, and there are people in this room, people watching, who are a witness of that as well, that God is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And the Almighty God, the everlasting Father, is calling you and I today to come with him, to make time to be with him, and he will give you rest.
Thanks for listening to the Destiny Community Church podcast. To learn more about DCC, including our service times and location, visit us at destinycommunitychurch.org.